Welcome everybody to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Hope everybody's having a great day. The show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine because that's what we talk about. We talk about your health, we talk about your divinity, and we talk about your wealth. So we just want to thank you so much for tuning in today. If you tuned in last Thursday, you were really, really fed. We had a great show. My special guest is back again today. The show that we did last week, I have my special guest back again this week. I was so anxious to get to him. He's a regular. I was so anxious to get to him last week that I contacted him early and he agreed to come on last week. So we're having him back again today. But if you missed last week's show, we talked about facts, faith, food, and the secrets of nature. Yes, my special guest is back, Brother Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's a regular on the show. Normally comes on every second, or shall I say every first Thursday, unless I make a mistake and call him early. But we talked about facts, faith, food, and the secrets of nature last week. So I encourage everybody, make sure you go back and listen to that broadcast, because we talked about a lot of different things, covered a lot of ground, and for those of you who missed it, fortunately we have an archives and you can go back and listen to our show. So my special guest from that show is back again, and today we're going to be talking about fasting, enemas, and disease prevention. Fasting, enemas, excuse me, and disease prevention. If you've been following the show, again, then you have to be familiar with King Coy Dunstan. You've heard his awesome testimony about how he cured his mother of cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon. Awesome, awesome testimony. I mean, I encourage everybody to go back and listen to it because you should know it by now. It's what actually got him started on the holistic health path. And one of the instruments that, or techniques, or whatever the word is you want to use, that Brother Coy used in helping his mother to completely reverse. And when we talk about reverse, and we're not talking about remission here, because a lot of times people would like to think that, oh, so you just got her levels low enough so that they just were not detected by, you know, medical means. Not talking about remission here. Talking about got rid of, like she never had it. But one of the tools in his tube belt was, well, several of the tools in his tube belt were fasting and enemas, and we're going to be talking about that as it relates to disease prevention. But let me get to my special guest, Brother Coy. Welcome back to Juwanza for Life. It's great to have you, sir.
I say good evening to you and your audience and your family. God bless you all, and good to be back with you.
You know, as I mentioned, brother, in your testimony that I've had an opportunity to hear many times, and my listeners, if they're regulars, they've heard it as well, about how you got actually involved in the holistic health field. You had gotten a call. You just graduated from law school, and, you know, you got a call that, you know, mama's in the hospital, and you went to back home to North Carolina and found that your mother was in bad state of health, and the doctors had gotten to the point where they said that, you know, there's nothing else that they could do for her. She had been diagnosed with cancer in both of her breasts, her liver and her colon, and basically gave her the choice of taking the chemotherapy that they were suggesting, or she could basically leave the hospital, and they had given her 6 weeks pretty much to live. That's the short story of what, how Brother got started. And lo and behold, after doing certain things, trying certain herbal remedies, for lack of a better term, or approaches to wellness, actually getting her off of the meat, the dairy, the sugar, and processed food and all that, and starting fasting and doing enemas and juicing and other things, she recovered and got a clean bill of health and was ultimately cleared and was back in the pulpit preaching and lived a decade after that, after they had just given her 6 weeks to live. Now, two of the things that you actually used in helping her to recover from cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and the colon were enemas and fasting. Now, I know that a lot of people are familiar with fasting, And I know that a lot of people probably don't like to talk about enemas, you know, because of, you know, just the whole process. But if you could talk about, just for our listeners, how that whole process of enemas and fasting works hand in hand to help prevent disease, not just prevent it, but reverse it if someone happens to have the unfortunate diagnosis that, you know, they have a disease and they want to cure it holistically. For those of the people who are listening for the first time, this is going to be a very interesting discussion, so I encourage you to pay close attention because we're going to cover a lot of ground. But before we actually get to that, because Coy went on to start, this is, you know, the other part of the story. He went on as a result of his mother recovering from cancer. It changed his whole perspective on life. He was planning on becoming a lawyer, had graduated from law school, and ultimately started what is now known as Secrets of Nature. I'll say holistic co-op, if that's, for lack of a better term, in Washington, D.C., and has been helping people for over 38 years to actually, for those who listen, change their diet to a livid, as I say, and to get them back on the road to recovery in terms of their health. Brother Coy, you've seen a lot in the last 38 years. If you could talk just for a moment before we actually get into fasting and enemas and disease prevention, just the journey from that point, from the point of, you know, we emphasize a lot how you got started, but then once you got started, okay, and once you had set your foot on the path of holistic healing, could you talk about that part of the journey, the second half, if you will, of the journey, and what that's been like just for the past 38 years of teaching people about eating properly, the successes, the disappointments, you know, along the way, because everybody doesn't take this information. Everybody's not going to take it, but there are those who do take it. Could you talk about the success stories that you've had and the, just that part of the journey from the time your mother got healed and then it put you off and running?
Yeah, I did. It was probably early 80s I started out, and really starting out just learning myself as much as I could. It took me probably a good 5 or 6 years to feel comfortable with the information to where I could pass it on to other people, but we used to hold in-home meetings and do seminars, that kind of thing, just to expose the people to the information and to improve my understanding of the information. And as I went through the process, I realized that you know, people, they say they some people got the information, picked it up, and did well with it. Others would say they're going to do it, and you know, just like anything else, we try to make a difference or make a change in our lives, and for some reason or for whatever reason, we never really get around to it, even though we know and we've heard the information and we've studied it and we understand it. We still engage in activities that may not be as healthy as activities we should engage in. But for the most part, most people would pick up the information, and they would, if you could get them to try it long enough, they would get into it, and they would understand the whole process of how the body heals itself, and how you and the things you need to do to assist the body in that, and getting the understanding that the process of healing, the body healing itself. Part of that was just going through repairing some of the damage that you had already done to the body, and understanding how to do that. So we learned how to use the herbs. A lot of, you know, we all are not at the same place, so we would start at a place if you are not fully understand all the aspects of natural or preventive health, you can start with just taking a simple combination for detoxing or for cleansing, and then we would show them how, if they wanted to go further, how they could get into a position where they would be able to fast, and then from there we would show them how to get on a maintenance program, and I would say it's just difficult for me to say how many people have responded in a way that they really got the benefit. But I would say at least in terms of a number, I have no idea. But I would say a percentage of the people that I talk to, a greater percentage have found some benefit in it, even though they may not stay with it. They may go out for a while and come back in, and some would just do it. So I would say more of the people that I've come in contact with have gotten some benefit from the information I've shared and the programs that we do, so that they could become independent and run it themselves, or feel comfortable enough that they knew enough about what to do if something was happening with their body. They could recognize it and understand what it is, and being able to exactly when they go to the doctor address these concerns that they may have, and maybe assist the doctor a little bit more in terms of what they need to do and what kind of medications, if they decide to take medications they want to take, or even if they even want to take a medication. Oftentimes the herbs will, they will tell me that the herbs were as good as any medication that they've ever taken, and it would enable them to overcome some of the most preventable diseases, and most of the diseases that we suffer from are preventable, and herbs are a great way to reverse or correct any conditions like diabetes, arthritis, pain, but the common conditions that we have, digestion and indigestion, which is probably the number one problem that we need to address. Most of it comes from improper digestion, assimilation, and elimination. And understanding that process, if you involve yourself in those three things, digestion, assimilation, and elimination, you're going to find that you can correct most any condition that's going on with the body. But in terms of what to do with digestion, when you, I think antacids, I think, are probably the number one selling over-the-counter medication that we take, because we learned that food combining is important. And when you combine a protein with a starch, you are interfering with the whole digestive process, because it takes a different set of enzymes to break down a protein than it does to break down starches or a vegetable. So when you combine all that stuff in your diet, we call that the standard American diet, it's going to lead to indigestion, it's going to lead to constipation, it's going to lead to the diabetes, it's going to lead to the arthritis, it's going to lead to the heart disease, and getting people to understand that, we can engage them. That's one reason why I wanted a store that had an eating component to it, so we can at least give people some idea of how to eat and what to eat, in terms of, and how to prepare it in terms of healing the body. But once you're in that position, you've got the indigestion, you're constipated, and you're not assimilating anything, you're going to have, that's the basis of most disease. So that's why we have to talk about the fasting, we have to talk about the enemas, we have to talk about the colon cleansing, the detoxing. All of those things are necessary to recover your digestive system, so that you don't wind up with this bloating and the belching and the gas that we get from the standard American diet that we engage in. And learning how to not get back into that process is very important in terms of maintaining and preventing disease. So that's kind of a quick overview of where we're going tonight, and what we try to do in terms of explaining the process to people, and them getting the idea that they can do something about it for themselves. So we can go from there.
You know, you mentioned, Brother Coy, about educating people. A part of the component is educating people so that even if somebody decides that they're not going to go the holistic route, at least not 100%, or at least maybe not at this time, they're working on things, they're doing things to, you know, get better. They're not where they want to be, but they're not where they used to be. But they're, you know, they're working on it. But in the meantime, giving them enough information that they can be of assistance even to their doctors when going to see the doctor. And let's say, for example, you take somebody that is under prescription medication. Okay, they're actually getting, the doctor has prescribed them some sort of medication. I don't know whether it could be for diabetes, it could be for high blood pressure medication, it could be whatever the case is.
Well,
but they don't want to be on
gas or digestion. Yeah, it usually starts
but
out.
But they're tired.
Gas or indigestion.
Huh?
Usually the condition will start out as gas or indigestion or bloating. That's probably the most common symptom that you're going down the wrong road. So we can start with something like antacid or Prilosec or whatever they want, whatever you want to call it. That's probably the number one prescribed drug medication in the medical profession, and everything else kind of drops out from there. But usually you go to the doctor because you have a digestive problem, and correcting that, they use something like an antacid, and the antacid makes it worse because it destroys the enzymes in the body, and you progress into a further state of disease. That's kind of the way it goes. So we can start with that antacid and work from there.
Well, let's say, for example, you take somebody that goes to the doctor, and the doctor's prescribing the medication, but they don't want to take it, but they're not at a point yet where they are ready to, again, go whole hog, pardon the pun, on the holistic side. But in the process, they decide, well, you know what, like, we'll just take high blood pressure medication. They decide, you know, I don't want to take this no more. You know, I'm tired of it. I've been taking it for years. I know that it's got bad side effects or whatever. I have no idea what, God knows what other things it's doing to my body besides lowering my blood pressure. So they decide they're going to cut back on it instead of following the directions of, say, the doctor. I don't know what the directions could be. Let's say they say take this pill once a day or twice a day, however many times a day. But they decide they don't want to do that. But in cutting back, they decide they're not going to follow the directions with the high blood pressure medication, but they haven't given up everything in terms of they haven't changed their diet to a point where just their normal diet will reduce the blood pressure. Could you talk about the importance of, if it's a situation where it's an either or, where it's something like, I mean, high blood pressure can kill you. You can have a stroke. Okay.
Yes,
could you talk about the importance of, if you're not going to do the holistic regimen to the point where you are lowering your blood pressure through the food that you eat, that until you make that change, it is important to take the medication in spite of the side effects or whatever, because otherwise you could die.
Yeah, well, that is true, and I encourage anyone that's on high blood pressure medication, once you get to that point and you're under doctor's care, that you really need to stay on the medication until you're satisfied that you can control it through your diet or through your lifestyle changes that you do. But if you can't do that on your own, yes, then you have to do what you're told. And oftentimes what you're told is not always the best thing that you can do, because going through the process of reversing that high blood pressure, you're going to have to give up stuff. You're going to have to make some changes, and they're not going to be comfortable, and you may not have time. And so you are almost forced on this medication to force your pressure to stay down so that you can function in life. And that's probably where most of us where most of us are in terms of going to the doctor. And if you go to the doctor, then, yes, you should probably be more concerned about doing what the doctor say do, unless you can talk to your doctor and explain to him that you're going to do something different and you want him to monitor you, or him or her to monitor you, until to make sure that you're not doing too much one way or the other. But if you're going to take the medication, it's going to be hard for you to use the holistic or the practical way, holistic way to correct the disease, because there will be some discomfort and you may feel like you're going to die, but that's the body pushing out and correcting itself in terms of Particularly if you know you're doing the right thing, your body will respond, and sometimes that process is not very comfortable. So I would encourage anyone that's not willing or doesn't have the discipline to go through that process, yes, to stay with that doctor and to do what the doctor tell you to do, yes.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I see the listeners online. If you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and I can bring you on, and you can ask your question or you can make your comment. Again, we've laid the foundation for the discussion, and we're going to be talking about fasting, enemas, and disease prevention. We've done shows on fasting, everybody, and I encourage you to scroll through the archives, and you can find those shows. We'll be talking some about that tonight, too. But we haven't done shows on enemas, and enema is one of the things that Brother Coy used when working with his mother to cure her of cancer in both of her breasts, the liver, and the colon. There are some people might wonder, well, what connection would an enema have with reversing cancer, you know, in the breast, the liver, and the colon, or for that matter, in any other part of the body? What connection would doing enemas have with a person's overall health? How could I use enemas to get rid of diabetes? How could I use enemas to get rid of any chronic condition that the doctor has diagnosed me with? So we'll be talking about that tonight and how you can use this, put this in your arsenal to ward off, prevent, and reverse any diseases that may befall you. But first, let's lay the foundation. So, Brother Coy, yeah, for those who might not know, they've heard the term, what is an enema, and why is it important to even have this in your tool belt, for lack of a better term?
Well, an enema is like doing a you taking an object. You're taking an object and you're inserting it in the rectum, and you're letting this water into your colon to help break up some of the impaction in the bowels. Remember, we said that there is digestion, assimilation, and elimination. And when that process is interfered with, your body will not process everything that you eat, or will not digest everything that you eat. So therefore, you don't assimilate it, so it gets stuck to the wall of the colon, and that's why we have colon cancers, so much colon cancer, and we go through this the thing where they go in to the rectum and look at your colon, colonoscopy. We have those because colon cancer is so rampant in the country. That comes from combination of foods that we eat, poor assimilation, and no elimination. So over time, when you come to a point to where you say, well, I understand that and I know that this is what I need to do, and you get into a program where you can do an enema, or you get your body ready to do an enema, then you can you can get the results or the benefits of enemas. But if you have let your body go to a place to where you have this impaction and all this colon bacteria, it's stuck on the walls, then the enema is a way that you can break up that impaction on the wall, simply by sometimes you can add coffee to the enema, ground coffee. And sometimes you can add golden seal, sometimes you can add lemon, sometimes you can add honey, or you can use a mixture. And you put that in a 2-quart hot water bottle, and you insert it into the colon through the rectum, and you let it insert it all in there, and you should get to a place to where you can actually insert a 2-quart hot water bottle in your colon, get up and walk around, and let it out when you get ready. Now, most people won't be able to do that the first time, so you have to work with your colon. And oftentimes, doing a colon cleanser like a tablet or a capsule or something like that, or a tea to help, you know, get the colon working to bring back the peristalsis, all of that helps. But once you get into the enema side, you're going deep. And when you get that 2 quarts of water in you, you should be able to hold it and walk around with it, and it shouldn't bother you, and you should be able to let it out when you're ready. And after a while, when you get to that place, you can say, well, I probably don't need to take an enema right now. or take any more enemas right now because, you know, my colon seems to be pretty good. I can hold the water without having running into an emergency or some kind of having to clean up, all that kind of stuff. So you have your body in a condition now that you have made it adaptable to an enema so that you can get the result that you need from an enema in terms of impacting the impaction on the walls of the colon, which where your blood is purified through the walls of the colon. And if you got all this impaction and putrid matter stuck on the wall, your blood is not clear, so you break down into diabetes and all the other kind of diseases. But that is the purpose of the enema, is to deep clean the colon, is what we call it. And it's oftentimes best to make it a lifestyle where you do it every month or a week out of the month or every 3 months or some regular time you set aside to do that just to take care of your body and to make sure that you don't let it get too far out of hand, whatever you're doing. So enemas are very important in that respect. And oftentimes now people use the colonic. You go, that's where you actually go to a place and they insert oxygen and water through the rectum for the same purpose. But again, you really need to work on your colon by strengthening it any way you can, eating raw, taking a colon cleanser, drinking teas, anything to strengthen and bring back the peristalsis is good before you even do enemas or colonics. You should do what you can to improve the colon so that it will function the way it's supposed to function, and then you get the real benefit of a colonic or an enema. That's the idea of an enema, to graduate to a colonic and then some regular program where you can do it maybe every 6 months or every 3 months, whatever you feel that you need to do in terms of maintaining a good bowel posture. And an enema is a way to strengthen the bowel, get it working, get it to a place to where it will function on its own. You don't want to become dependent on them. And you can tell when your bowel starts slowing down or when you're not going to the bathroom at all, it's probably an indication that you need to do something, some more colon maintenance, so that that doesn't become a long-term issue. So that's how you prevent colon cancer and how you can a program that you can set aside and learn. You should do some studying on it and understand how to do it and when to do it so that you can get the best benefit from it.
You talked about elimination, and I guess you can't talk about enemas without talking about eliminations, because that's what the enema is going to produce. It's going to produce the elimination of the fecal matter from the rectum and the colon, or from the colon through the rectum. When you talk about elimination, so that people know, because there might be people, again, who come to this information at different points. Some people have been on this path for a long time. They will know many of the things that we're talking about, and then there are those who might not know as much as others. But when it comes to elimination, you can expound on it, but when you eat, for example, if you eat three times a day, it is suggested, or you are supposed to eliminate three times a day. If you eat three meals a day, you are supposed to be sitting down three times a day. Is that correct, Owen?
That's correct. You should have 16 to 24 hours after each full meal, you should have a bowel movement. If you're not doing that, you're getting impaction in the colon, and that's probably the major cause of most diseases that we come from. We are not eliminating properly or often enough. We can eat all day, but we may eliminate once every other day or something like that. But it is important that we understand that after 16 to 24 hours after each full meal, we should have a bowel movement. And if you're not doing that, that's a good measure kind of to determine whether or not you should consider doing an enema or doing a colonic. But you can be doing that. You can be having a good bowel movement 16 to 24 hours after each full meal, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your colon is in the shape that it should be in, because you have to look at what you're eating, when you eat, how you eat, what you eat, to determine whether or not you think an enema or colonoscopy is would be beneficial to you. But the way colon cancer spreads to these days, I think it's a good idea that we do something other than just go get a colonic or go get a colostomy or whatever they call that you go get, because you need to understand how the bowels work and what you can do on your own to improve the possibilities of a good outcome. You don't want to go to a doctor and they tell you got 18 polyps in your colon and we're going to have to cut them all out. You don't want that. So you want to know your colon, number one, and a colonic will tell you that what condition your colon is in. And if you've been told you have all these polyps, then even if you're having a movement every day or 16 to 24 hours after each full meal, you still may need to do more to get those polyps down and out of the colon. So that, and polyps are nothing but like mucus or tumors that grow on the walls of the bowel and eventually turns to colon cancer. So when they tell you got polyps, that's what they're doing. They're going in and they're squeezing out that stuff or cutting it out of the colon so that it doesn't turn cancerous. And a lot of that you can do yourself. You can do that, but once you get to a place to where you have accumulated so many of those, then you need to maybe get some professional assistance in terms of dealing with that issue, because it can be deadly, yes.
So when it comes to your bowel movements, and, you know, pardon everybody, just bear with us. I mean, sometimes there's some conversations that you just have to have. You know, it might, yeah. You know, forget the graphics. Sometimes you got to have these conversations. When you talk about a bowel movement, it's my understanding that your bowel movement should float, okay?
Yeah.
F-L-O-A-T, float, okay? Uh-huh. It shouldn't just sink to the bottom of the bowl.
Right.
And if that's the case... That is correct.
It shouldn't have any odor. If you got an odor, or if it's like a rock, or if it's not consistent, it should be. It really should be consistent too. In terms of, it may come out to be 2 or 3 feet long. If you're not having that kind of a movement, then there's an indication that something is going on in your colon. Either you're eating too much sugar, not drinking enough water. It can be a number of reasons, but you'll have to make that determination about why your bowel movements are smelling, or why they are dropping to the bottom, or why they're coming out in pieces. All of those things is an indication that something is going on, and you need to maybe give it a little more attention in terms of doing some colon cleansing, or looking at a little deeper with a colonic or Kalima board, colonoscopy. Those determinations you have to make along the way in terms of what kind of result you're getting with your bowel movements. But yeah, they should not smell. There should be no odor, and they should float. They should be kind of puffy, and it should not, you know, be like a log or that drops out and get you behind or wet. But those are indications. If that's happening, that's an indication that you need to do something with your colon, or you're on the road to some kind of disease.
So, Brother Coy, somebody texted me and mentioned that I've mentioned 3 times a day. If you eat 3 times a day, you're supposed to sit down 3 times a day. And you mentioned, I think it was 16 to 24 hours after each bowel movement, or that that's the thing. Or the number, and their position was that that's not 3 times a day. That if you're doing it 16 to 24 hours, and I think that person maybe missed the point, is that each time that you should be eliminating regularly. You know what I mean? Whether it's 3 times a day, I mean, that was my statement. Maybe I was an error in that, because yes, technically,
no. I think it's just understanding the process. 16 to 24 hours. I mean, the meal you ate yesterday morning should have been coming out this morning, but that doesn't mean you didn't eat anything between yesterday morning and this morning. If you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, then there's two other meals still got to come out the rest of the day. So you have to look at it in a broader sense. It's not just you're going to eat a meal a day and 16 hours later it's going to come out. It's not really that simplistic because you're going to be eating, you're going to eat more than one meal during that 16 to 24 hours. But they're not all going to come out at the same time. So you have to give the time that you ate some consideration so that, and generally, most people don't do that anyway. So I wouldn't get hung up on that too much. But you should understand that if you're eating three meals a day, you should have three bowel movements a day. That's the bottom line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Court, speaking back to enemas before we move on to fasting, can a person overdo it? Because, you know, there's bound to be somebody, because, you know, we get hung up on stuff. I mean, there are people who might, you know, when it comes to exercise, they may, you know, just, they might run in the snow, you know, they can't stop. I mean, they get with something and then they just overdo it. Can a person, would there be any downside to doing, for a person to do too many enemas? I mean, or should it be limited to one? Should it be one a day? I mean, because I know you mentioned
that maybe.
Probably,
there's room for debate on that. I think some people will do an enema every day. Some people would do an enema every week. I don't know if there's a set number. I think it depends on the kind of lifestyle you have. If you know you're not doing what you're supposed to do and eating the way you're supposed to eat or not eating what you're supposed to eat, you have to think about that and decide, you know, did I see that come out of me when I'd had a bowel movement? Did I see that come out? And if you don't see it all come out, then you should be kind of concerned about it. But I think if a person want to do an enema every day, I think it's okay. You just don't want to become dependent on them. And I don't know if you can become dependent on an enema. But I would rather probably say that, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing here and I'm going to get my body at least moving, doing something. I may not do it every day or I may not do it all the time, but I do want to do one every week or something. And if you do that, be consistent. I think that's more important, and I think your body will tell you that if you need to do one, do two a week, I think you can kind of, your body will kind of feel you on that, and you can pick that up. But it's a lot of this is instinct, a lot of this is, you know, working it out in your own mind. There's no exact answers. And the body is an amazing instrument, and each body will kind of will vary in terms of what kind of herbs you want to take, what kind of treatments you want to do, or how deep you want to get into it. But the idea is that yes, you do need to detox. You do need to do all the things that we know we need to do, because a lot of the things that we put in us, we don't see it come out, and we need to be mindful of that, and we need to do as regular as we need to or we feel we need to make that happen.
What about smell, Brother Coy? What actually causes the food to smell? Let's say, for example, I'm sure, I mean, it's a rhetorical question from my end. You know, I'm sure people that that do eat meat or have eaten meat know that, you know, sometimes you can smell like a dead animal You know, could you talk about what actually causes?
I would say it most of the time it is meat. Sugar can also be a culprit there. But remember, the digestion, when you digest your food, it should pass through in about 16 to 24 hours. If it's not passing through, it's accumulating. And if it's meat in there or if it's dairy products in there, it's going to start to rot and putrefy is another word we use, but the basics is it's going to rot, and when it comes out, it's going to smell rotten. So that's an indication that you're not eating a good clean diet or a plant-based diet. On a plant-based diet, you should not have that problem. But if you're eating meat and dairy products, anything from an animal, it's going to stay in your colon and it's going to rot, putrefy, they call it, and It's going to come out in your skin. It's going to come out under your arm, and it's going to come out when you have bowel movements. And usually the culprit is meat or animal products.
You know, and I just want to impress upon the people listening, the reason we do these shows and focus on the body is because this is where you live. This body houses you. This is, you know, you are not your body. You actually live in your body, but this is your house. This is the house that you live in. And so think about it. If there was never anything wrong with your body, let's say you just were the pillar of perfect health always, just think about the other things that you could do and not concern yourself with the body, not concern yourself with the, you know, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure, gout, you know, heart trouble, none of that. You know, just think about it. If you didn't have to go to doctors, what would you do with your time? What would you do with your energy if all you had to focus on what is whatever God put you here to focus on and just have the body operate, you know, in a perfect way? It's just like your car. Just imagine if your car ran well all the time and all you needed it to do was to get you to where you had to go, okay? Then imagine your body in that way. Just imagine if all your body had to do was to get you to where it had to get you and do the things that you had to do, and you didn't ever have to worry about it not working. So that's why we do these shows, so that if it's not working, then we can give you some information for you to consider that can get it working again. And you can use this information to prevent it from breaking down in the first place. So, again, we talked about enemas, Brother Quay. I want to say that now you broke it down, man. You really gave a real some serious examples on why people need the enema, why it's important, what it is, and, you know, I can see why it's important when it comes to the whole healing process. We needed to have this conversation because there are a lot of conversations that need to be had that nobody talks about, and enemas is one of them. So let's move on to fasting, because that was another component that you used when working with your mother. You took her on a fast. Now, I know you mentioned that Nature Sunshine, you got into the herbs through that particular company. Did they teach you about fasting as well? I mean, how did you come across the information?
That was part of the training that of becoming a Nature Sunshine distributor. You had to understand the digestive system. You had to understand the modalities in terms of how to correct the problems that you encounter and how to reverse disease. A lot of that was very helpful in terms of be working with my mother. Fasting comes along because usually when we need to fast is because we are not very disciplined in our life. We know there are things that we shouldn't do. We know there are things we shouldn't eat. And we know our thoughts are not always pure. And to discipline your body, you need to, that's the main reason you fast. You are reaching into the spirit man, and you need to strengthen that spirit man so that it stays above those addictions that we encounter that we encounter as we go through life. You know, we may have we know we shouldn't eat meat, but we can't stop eating chicken. And when you eat the meat, we know that it produces parasites in the body. And we know that parasites is at the basis of most of the diseases that we have. So fasting is a way to cut off feeding those parasites, to cut off feeding the cells, the toxicity that we eat long enough for it to clear the system. And again, that may take 7 days, it may take 10 days, it may take 30 days. But if you have never fasted, then you may want to do, that's why you do the juice fasting for about a week. Just go get your juicer, get some green leafy vegetables. Grapes are good. Anything raw, like from a plant, plant-based. And you do that for about a week in preparation for the fast, because that helps break up the dead cells in the body and all that garbage. It helps soften it up so that you can move it out. Because when you start fasting, if you haven't moved it out, all of that toxicity and morbidity will start recirculating in the body, and it can be so toxic that it could kill you. So you want to juice and feed the body and make it strong enough so that when you do fast, you don't have to worry about the parasites begging for food all day. So if you can get a good parasite cleanse and garlic or a black walnut, those kind of things, eating raw to help flush out as much of those parasites as you can before you go on a fast, it makes the fast a lot easier. And then you can you have the strength. You have got the support to fast, and then you have to stay on the spiritual side so that you don't let your mind fall back into the drinking or the ice cream or the cakes or the meat that you are trying to get away from. You have to keep your mind stayed on good things, and that's why we recommend during the fast that you pick up the Bible and you read it every day, and you, whenever you feel like you're not going the way you should go, read some Bible verses, Proverbs, through Psalms, through the any your favorite passage in the Bible. All of those things keep your mind strong so that you don't fall back into the habits or the addiction that you're trying to break. But fasting is an excellent way to break an addiction, but it's even more important that you understand how you fast. So if you're a heavy meat eater, you may not want to just go on a fast, because all of that putrefaction that's stuck in your bowels is going to start releasing, and it's going to recirculate in your blood system, and it's going to go through the brain, and that's not very comfortable. That's not very, you won't feel very good with that. So if you're a heavy meat eater, or if you eat meat regularly, you want to take some time to do the juicing, do the raw foods for a while, so that your body will have time to get rid of that stuff, flush it out. The parasites don't like live, raw, plant-based food, and it'll help eliminate them. And then when you feel you have done enough elimination, then you can think about the fasting. And the fasting, once you get through the maybe the first 2 or 3 days, might be a little uncomfortable, but past that, you'll wonder why you haven't done it before, because you'll feel great, your energy level is up, there's nothing interfering with your processing in terms of being able to deal with stress. All the things that you are trying to overcome, you do in a fast, and that's why fasting is probably the best way to heal the body. A spiritual rejuvenating fast is probably the best way to get your body back to a place to where you feel that you are in control, and that's what it's all about. These addictions control us, and we try to get control of the addictions, and we do that through fasting.
You know, I would think, Brother Coy, that if a person can fast, then there's really pretty much nothing that they cannot do, because if you can control your food intake, which is, you know, a basic thing in when it comes to just being alive. We have to eat in order to stay alive, in order, you know, we have to eat, we have to breathe. You can only hold your breath for so long before you start breathing again. You can only go without food for so long before you start eating again. But if you can actually control that, just how long you can eat and what you eat, if you can control that, it seems like there would be actually nothing that would be impossible for you to control.
That's right.
And there's something about fasting that it really makes you even feel good about yourself. I've actually done a 6-day fast. That's the longest fast that I ever did. And at some point, I mean, just a complete full fast, I mean, just no solid food, just juicing and water primarily. But at some point, not only are you not hungry, you don't even think about the fact that you're on a fast. You don't even think about food. You know,
That's just correct. Go
about doing whatever it is that you were doing if you just didn't eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I just want to encourage everybody to consider it, because if you can control that, if you can control fasting, I mean, what you eat, that's just like a primal thing that if you can control fasting, if you can control your sex drive, if you can, even your breathing, mm-hmm. then there's nothing that you can't control. Your thoughts on that?
Well, if you can't do that, you're sick. That's just the bottom line. if you can't control yourself and your body and your mind and your spirit, you're sick. And that's why I say most diseases that we come from, the basics of them is a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. We have forsaken our spirit, and we've given, we have gone awry in terms of this worldly things that we engage in, all the things that we see that we know we shouldn't do, and all the things that we do that we see. They're really not necessary. They don't really take you anywhere. You have to get a purpose in life, and once you understand your purpose, you can begin to do a lot of stuff. But yes, if you can control what you eat, if you can control what you see, if you can control what you say and do, you can do anything. And that's the only way you can do it. If you're not, you're sick and you need spiritual rejuvenation.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Washington. Secrets of Washington. It's the best kept secret in Washington. Secrets of Nature.
Yes, sir.
In Washington, D.C., we're talking about fasting, enemas, and disease prevention. If you have a question, just press 1. Somebody asked me to ask you, Brother Coy, concerning we're talking about fasting, so obviously he's got the answer to the question. But the question was, 3 meals a day, is there a downside to not eating that? But, of course, we know just through this conversation, we're talking about going days, weeks without eating, so there would be no downside to not eating 3 meals a day, correct?
Yeah, probably.
Matter of fact,
most
there may be
people don't eat 3 meals a day, but there's no downside to it. I think it's the quality of the meals that you do eat is more important. If you eat one good meal a day, I think that's most sufficient, and particularly as you get older, you just don't need all that food. But again, you have to remember, if you are working or you're engaged in activity or you're trying to accomplish something on your own, you have to remember the body needs food, and it's the kind of food that you give it more so than how often you eat. But we know we can go at least 70 days without food, maybe 5 to 7 days without water. So it's just a state of mind that you have to put yourself in terms of deciding, how much you want to eat and when you want to eat and what you want to eat. I think we eat too much, number one. So if you eat maybe what you can get in the palm of your hand at each meal, then 3 meals a day, 3 meals a day is not, hard to do. But if you want to get all you can get on the table, eat all you can put on the table, then that's a problem. You're sick. You need to work on that.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunston. Again, we're going to tell you how you can get in contact with him so that you can, if you're just starting this process, you can have somebody that, you've heard just not the information. It's not just the information that you heard today. It's the spirit with which the information was given. Not only is the information good, you can tell by listening to somebody. You can tell by their personality. You can tell a lot just by, it's not what they say, but how they say it. And when you're listening to somebody, you can generally tell, do I trust this person? And so I know that you can trust Brother Coy. I do. And I know that you do, too. You can listen to his spirit. And you can get a lot of information about a person that way, too. Brother Coy, let's talk about the benefits now of everything that we talked about today, fasting, enemas. If a person decides that, I've heard enough that I'm ready now, because we do these shows all the time. We do these shows with Brother Coy at least once a month, sometimes more. And other people, Dr. Lays and Dr. Watkins, and sometimes you never know which show it is that's going to turn the light on, so to speak, where you may have heard 1,000 shows, but then all of a sudden you hear one, and Coy might say one word or make one statement, and you're like, I got it now. I'm ready now. So, Brother Coy, let's talk about the benefits for those who say, I'm ready now. I'm ready to make that change. I'm ready to at least try. I mean, at least put forth the effort. Not talk about putting forth the effort, but actually putting forth the effort, because everything is measurable. Trying, even trying, is measurable. It has to be measured. So for somebody to say, I'm trying. I'm trying. That has to be measured. You have to be able to say, okay, trying is, okay, I used to eat, I normally eat chicken, say, 4 days out of a week. But I'm trying. So now I'm going to eat it 3 times a week. Then you can say, I'm trying, because you can measure that. You can say, okay, I went from 4 times a week to 3 times a week. That's something that's measurable. Otherwise, you're just talking, okay? Or for somebody who drinks and says, okay, I normally stop at the happy hour every day after work, but no, I decided to try. So now, instead of stopping at happy hour every day after work, I only go by happy hour 3 times a week. And I'm not even I'm not condoning going by the happy hour 3 times a week. I'm giving you an example about trying. At least that's measurable. You can measure that. Otherwise, you're just talking. Okay, so, Brother Coy, could you talk about the benefits for those who are ready to try, who are ready to really put forth the effort and try? What's waiting for them?
Well, I think the first thing they have to realize, there's no such thing as trying. You have to do it. You either do it or you don't. And trying is just an excuse not to do. So you have to get your head right and your language in line with what you think and what you want to do. And either you do it or you don't. So it's not like trying. You
right.
do. And once you get past that, then that builds your confidence. It helps you to understand your purpose or your definition in life. It gives you the ability to influence other people in terms of what you are doing to do what you're doing, and it improves your communication so that you can accomplish what you want in life. I mean, if you're trying to do something in life, if you can't communicate it to people, then you might as well do something else. But the whole process we're talking about is really for your own self-esteem and your self-love. You love yourself enough to do this, and you're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to get to the place that you want to be. And that's really the biggest benefit you're going to get out of what you're doing. It's not for me, and it's not for your wife. It's for you. You have to do what you want to do in the way that that you want to do it, so that then people will follow you, they will understand what you're talking about, and you will be able to communicate. And communication is probably the most important thing that we need to work on, is communication, because we talk past each other and not to each other, and it hinders us in what we want to do in life, and we don't understand why. But the biggest benefit is just being assertive and confident and certain in your path and where you're going. You're not double-minded. You're not here one day and there next day. You're focused. Your focus is the word I was looking for, in terms of where you want to go in life. It helps you define where you want to go in life, and you have to do that so that when you meet people and you communicate with them, you can tell whether or not there's some person that I need to be with. And it can't be just from a lustful state. It has to be from whether or not they can understand me and I can understand them, and we can work together in terms of where we want to go in life. Because through life, you're going to have relationships, and relationships are important. But oftentimes, the relationships are for the wrong reason, or we don't actually enter into a relationship. It's not really a relationship. It's just a companionship or something. It gives you the ability to pick and choose the people that you want around you for a reason other than lust or whatever reasons we go into these relationships. It's actually like a contract. You have to communicate what you want, have the person respond, and you work out the deal. And when the deal is done, you can feel certain that you have done the best you can in terms of preparing to move forward with your life.
You know, Brother Coy, can we talk for a moment briefly about just even when it comes to sharing this information? Because everybody's got loved ones everybody's got somebody that they love, you know, and there's somebody, whether it's a parent, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a mate, a partner, a wife, husband, whatever, husband-to-be, wife-to-be, whatever, everybody loves somebody. And if you have come to this information, and if you agree with it, if you don't dispute it, if you're not one of the people that say, I don't believe that, but you are one of the people that say, I do believe it. And let's say you're one of the people that believe it, but you're not there yourself yet. You believe it. You listen to the shows. You know Brother Coy is telling the truth. You know Dr. Latham's telling the truth. You know Dr. Watkins and the other guests that I have on are telling the truth, but you're just not there yet yourself. But you have loved ones that are sick. You have people. You who are not there yourself have other people in your life that you love that you want to share the information with, and you're trying to get them to tune in and listen to Brother Coy, but they're looking at you. Okay, yeah. They're looking at you and saying, well, wait a minute, you know, you're trying to get me to listen to this guy, you know, are you listening to him? You know what I mean? What do you say to people? Because even for somebody that's not there yet, even when they share you with other people, that's a good thing. They may not be there yet yourself. I'm not where I want to be, but I share you with everybody I know. Okay? So for people who are at that point where they have heard this information, but they want to share it with other people, but they're not where they are yet, and so where they want to be yet, and it might make them reluctant to press the issue when it comes to sharing you or somebody else or Dr. Watkins or any other shows with somebody else, what would you say to that person? How should they best go about it if they're not where they want to be?
Yeah. Because nobody wants to run where they want to be. Believing is one thing. Knowing is another. And if you believe something, yes, you can believe something and not necessarily do it. But if you know, you're going to do it. And knowing, that's the difference in knowing and doing, knowing and believing. Believing is fine. I mean, I can believe in a lot of things, but until I actually know that what I believe is true, there's not much I can do to convince anybody of anything. So you have to know as opposed to believing, and once you get to the knowing side, the communication becomes clearer, and you know there's no confusion about what you're saying. Because you are doing it and you are living it, and people will see that and they will pick it up and they will want to do it too. It's contagious. Once you know that this is true, then people will sense that and they will want to join you in whatever you are advocating. So I would say, you know, if you won't be able to get everybody, and everybody, they may not listen for various reasons. You might be the son, or they might be the parent, or you might be the brother, the sister, for whatever relationship might be. But if you know what you are saying, when you say it, I think people will pick it up. That's just the human characteristics about why so many of these mega churches exist, because these ministers have a way of convincing you that they know what they are saying is true, and they are sharing it with you in a way that they want you to pick it up too, and you feel that, and you say, well, okay, I'm going to do this. And you may not be able to do it all at once, but over time, if you stay on the right conversation, or you keep listening to the right conversation, all of those things will work out, and you'll know as opposed to believing. So, and people will understand that and pick it up.
You know, Brother Coy, somebody just texted me not long ago and said, well, what if I don't like vegetables?
Well, I would say, there's a lot of, vegetables. I'm convinced that vegetables are all, most of the vegetables that we encounter are hybrids. They are man-made. They're not really from a plant. They're hybrids. They're put together in a laboratory, and they have been put out as food. But a lot of the vegetables that we eat are like that. They're made in a laboratory. So I would encourage them to expand their exposure to the plant world and find the plants that you like to eat. There's a probably more plants than we could ever count out there, and they all have some. If it's a natural plant, we call that an herb, that I do, and if it's a vegetable, I call it something that's maybe man-made in a laboratory, and oftentimes you may not like it. But the reason you may not like it, it may vary. You may be your palate has been contaminated with sugar and with all the things that you think you like, and trying to instead of confronting the fact that you need to not engage in some of the things that you are eating and try something else, is because you're comfortable there. You don't, people don't like to change. So I would say you have to get outside of your comfort zone and experiment with some other plants that you think you don't like, and you may have to fix some different ways. Sometimes you may eat them raw, sometimes you may have to juice them, sometimes you may have to cook them. I don't know. It's just different ways of looking at food that we have to look at, because a lot of the things that we consider as vegetables probably are not the best thing. They're probably acidic, and it's not going to, maybe the body doesn't feel the energy from it that it should. But an herb, you should be able to pick up an herb, and when you eat that herb, it may not taste the way you want it to taste, but you should understand that this is a natural, healthy, plant-based food, and it's going to give my body what it needs, and I need to work with this until I can get it and get to a place to where I can eat it and digest it and get the benefit from it and move on to the next plant. So it's a process we have to go through. We have to retrain everything that we know about eating. Eating is something that we probably know very little. We don't know enough about, I would say, and we are not taught about it. And we have to learn how to feed this body and give it what it needs so that we don't have to worry about going down the road of this the diseases that we suffer from so rampantly, because, you know, from the slave to now, no one has really taken us and given us counseling and explained to us that, you know, this, you might have done this when you were a slave, but you don't want to do that no more. They just kind of say, well, here, we're going to feed you, and we're going to feed you what you want to, we're going to feed you, and it's going to get the cheapest thing on the planet to feed you, and you have to understand in the back of your mind that that's not the best thing for me, and learn how to eat so that you know what to eat and why you're eating it, and you can overcome some of that.
You know, Brother Coy, we want to give the people information on how they can get in contact with you, but before we do that, what are some of the tools that people would need if they're planning on fasting and they want to juice? Of course, you're going to need a juicer. Would you recommend a food processor? Well, probably not a food processor if we're talking about fasting.
Yeah,
but
I would. Uh-huh. Well, if you're fasting,
okay.
But you need a juicer, a food processor, and it's one other thing you need, a juicer, a food processor, and a blender, I would say.
Okay.
Those three things you should probably try to live on for a while if you want to make a difference. You don't want to cook the food. You just want to change the consistency or the taste of it so that you can assimilate it without a lot of chewing, and you don't have to worry about it getting stuck on the walls of your colon. And those three instruments, most anything that you need to eat, you can prepare with those three instruments, and you'll find that you can. It'll make your fasting a lot easier. It'll give you more energy. It'll make you feel better about yourself. And it's just learning. Usually, those things come with a little direction book or how to fix different things, and you can kind of start from there and adjust it to whatever you want to do. I would soak my nuts before I blend those, and I would soak my dried berries and things like that. I might soak those a little bit before I blend them, just to wake them up and get these enzymes moving in them again, so that when you do get them, you really, your body won't have to do that. That it's already transform to a live enzyme food so that your body can use it. And but yeah, those are the probably the only three things that you need to have in your house, period. You can leave the stove out, leave the refrigerator out, and just do fresh green leafy vegetables and nuts, grains, seeds, and just use those, the food processor. You can make up a little nuts snack or something, like a pate or even desserts you can do with a food processor. So the food processor has its place, but the juicer, like in the morning, you can like juice your same fruits, nuts, and grains to make up a smoothie, like, and you can drink that in the morning as a breakfast, and in the evening you can do the heavier stuff with the food processor. So yeah, I would say yeah, I would get that those three things in your house at least to begin. If you can't, at least get a juicer that will juice green leafy vegetables, and that would be a good start. You can start with that, and as you go, you can add the other things according to how you want to change your diet or the food that you eat. You can use the appropriate utensil or machine to process the food so that you can eat it. So yeah, I would recommend highly that you get all three and you use them, learn how to use them.
And for the enema, any tools, a hot water bottle,
a 2-quart hot water bottle. They are hard to find these days, but usually a medical supply store, if they don't have them, they can order them. A 2-quart hot water bottle. The ingredients, you want good clean water. You can use, as I mentioned earlier, garlic. You can use golden seal. You can use coffee. A coffee enema is probably the most healing one if you really want to detox for clean. The ground coffee enema is probably the best enema you can take because it helps really pull that garbage out, the colon, faster than probably anything else. And that's probably the only use of coffee that we should ever use it for, is to take an enema. We should not really be drinking it because we don't know really all the chemicals that are in it or where it comes from. Just a 2-quart hot water bottle is a good start. They're not easy to find, but if you're lucky enough to find one, I would get a couple and probably keep them around the house so that you can have them available, because you never know when you're going to need an enema, or you just need to get some hot water that you can lay on your gut or something, or an ache or pain. You can get a hot water bottle and you can sleep on that. That helps with getting rid of pain and stuff like that. They're very handy to have around. They're tools to keep the body working properly. And I would recommend a 2-quart hot water bottle primarily as a instrument that you need to have in your house, even if you're not using it all the time. When you do need it, you will use it, and it's just good to have it because oftentimes they're not easy to find.
Brother Coy, this has been an awesome, awesome interview, my brother, and I know that there are people out there listening that want to get in contact with you. You can call Brother Coy if you have any questions, if you have you want to get by his establishment. I highly recommend that. He's called Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Brother Coy, how can people get in contact with you, and what's your address and hours of operation? If you could tell the people what type of services you provide, what type of products they can get from you.
Well, I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. That's in Washington, D.C., 20032. That's my physical address. The telephone number is 202-562-0041. Anybody that needs to call me, that's probably to talk to me, that's probably the best way to get me, is to just give me a call. You can get any other ways to contact me through a call, but I have a text. You can fax me, you can email me, all of that I do. The probably the easiest way is just the telephone, 202-562-0041. And if you have any questions or anything you don't understand quite, or if you want to know something that we didn't talk about, you can give me a call. We can go through it and see where we are with it.
And you don't you don't have to be in the area for Brother Coy to get you what it is that you might need. He has an establishment. He actually sells herbs. He sells herbal products. So, again, you're still selling the loose herbs, right, Brother Coy?
Yeah, we have the loose herbs, and I didn't get into what I do. We have the loose herbs. We try to keep a few books around as reference books so that if you got a problem, you can go to a book and you can kind of get an idea of where to go with it. We try to keep good, clean food in here, some good juices to drink that's not so full of sugar. And we make some food, the raw foods we make. We do have a vegetarian menu that consists of meat substitutes or mock meats. We have the herbs, we have the skin care, we have most anything you need to get on a good path in terms of taking care of yourself. You could probably come here and get pretty much what you need. But I would encourage everybody to get the equipment so you can have what you need at home. And you can begin to, explore yourself and see for yourself where you want to go and continue the process of working with your own, working in your own way about how fast you want to go with it or how slow you want to go with it. And we can support you in that by answering questions or being available to assist you through whatever questions you might have. That's what we do. That's where we are. We do the nuts, grains, and seeds, the herbs, the vitamins, the food. Mm-hmm. We even show you how to prepare the food if you like, or you can just come and have a good meal. If you want to try a vegetarian or a vegan meal, you can come and we can, you can sit down and you can eat it or you can take it with you. So we try to be a full-service holistic health facilities to mm-hmm. assist people that want to go into a direction of healing themselves or keeping themselves from getting sick.
You know what's interesting, Brother Coy, is that when it comes to the whole holistic health path, for somebody that's not on it and they're thinking about it, they might be on the fence. One of the things that we don't really talk about is the camaraderie and the family of people that have gotten on the path that would be more than welcome to welcome you on the path. There's room for one more. There's always room for one more.
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things about Coy's establishment is when you go there, there's a family atmosphere. Every time I went there, just about every time I went there, I ran into somebody that I knew in there, and there's always this family environment. So I encourage people to just think not only about the food aspect, but there are other people who have gotten on the holistic health path and healed chronic diseases. I mean, Coy, we give Coy's testimony at the beginning of the show most of the time. That's how he got started. But along this, in the last 38 years, there have been God only knows how many people that have been cured of different kinds of cancers and diabetes and high blood pressure and heart trouble and, all kinds of people that have gotten healed and improved the quality of their life. And they are now on this path. And these holistic health stores like Secrets of Nature, people congregate there because it's hard to find a good place where you can have a vegetarian meal. So when you do find a place like that, you really don't want to leave because unless you're planning on coming back every day, you don't want to leave. And so these people, they congregate there, and they might stand around and talking, and it's a beautiful family environment over at Secrets of Nature. So I definitely encourage you, if you're in the area, to get by there, make a special trip, even if you're not in the area. And remember, Coy does do phone consultations so that you don't have to be in the area to benefit from his expertise. And he will ship whatever it is that you need to him. So call him up, find out what, let him know what's going on with you, find out what his recommendations are, see if he carries it. And if he doesn't carry it, I'm sure he can get it for you. And if you're not in the area, he can ship it to you as well. Is that correct, brother?
That is correct. We do full service as best we can, yes.
Everybody, again, my special guest today has been King Coy Dunson. I got to let him go because if it was up to me, I wouldn't let him go. But actually, got to get his rest.
Yes, sir.
Brother Coy, any words for my listeners today?
Well, I've enjoyed the evening. It's been a good conversation, and I think hopefully someone picked up something, or we shared something with the people that they could use. But I would encourage everyone to, take control of your own health. There's plenty of people out here to help you. There are plenty of things that you can do on your own in terms of preventing disease. And I would encourage everyone to get on a path of taking care of themselves as best they can and learning how to use what's available to prevent disease and to stay out of the doctor's office.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Students of Nature. Again, you should have it by heart before I have the drummers come and pick him up and carry him out of here. The number here is 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. To everybody that's tuned in, I just want to take a moment and say thank you. You didn't hear this information by accident, and you could be doing something else, but you've taken time out of your day to spend it with me and my special guest, Brother Coy Dunstan, and I encourage you to share this information with other people, and that's all you can do is share it.
Yeah.
And if they tune in and they listen and they can benefit from it, you know, if they don't, maybe not today, maybe they will tomorrow, but don't stop sharing it, because it's only by the grace of God. Eventually, hopefully, it's only by the grace of God that this information came across our ears. So I'm very thankful for your time. So I just want to, again, encourage everybody, give Brother Coy a call, 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. My name is Juwanza. I'm the one who receives more. Heads up. Who are you? Peace.
Peace.